Things That Dangle, Dirty Larry, and Premolars. You know that's right. It's season 5, episode 3 of this podcast, End of Psych, and it starts right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
I've heard it both ways.
And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe, riding shotgun in the blueberry with me, as always, is my ride or die, Olympia frickin' Dukakis. Billy, how you doing?
Fantastic. We got the pods up. We're back and should be in a little bit of a groove here, I think. And it is good to be back. And we are, you know, we talk about, you know, how good Psych continues to get. Man, I mean, season 5 starts off with a bang and just keeps getting better.
I love. So today, Billy, we're talking Psych season 5, episode 3, Not Even Close Encounters. And I love this episode. This is an episode that gets a lot of friggin' rewatches from me. And there's a reference they make, which we'll get to in a little bit. And so I was like, okay, I need to go back. What was this, in season 1 or season 2? And I went back. I started with season 2 because that's what episode I thought it was in. And it made me a little nostalgic for season 2. Right? As much as I love season 5, it's my favorite. I'm like, fuck, I really did love season 2. There's some good stuff in there. But yeah, happy to be back. You know, a little vacation. And then, you know, last week, I needed to take a little bit of extra time. But we should be back into a groove, baby. Mm-hmm. You know, and rip through season 5 and get to some real fucking bangers here.
Absolutely, because we gotta let Jake know when he's gonna be on for probably the best season recap of all.
Yeah. And he's been pretty good with his rankings, but something tells me
consensus.
he's gonna throw a monkey wrench into. Because the season is just damn good, and he's gonna love one of the few that we don't love, and it's gonna throw everything out of whack. But
that's what we need, though. We need that. That's what we have.
We do need that. Oh, and by the way, for those watching, unfortunately, for those listening, you won't get this, but I think we nailed the point. Yet once again.
It was like smooth as AF. Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, it was smooth like Skippy. Quick synopsis of this episode. Sean and Gus help on a case involving a seemingly alien abduction. They ask their childhood friend Dennis to help them since he believes in aliens. The three determine it is not aliens so much as a devious corporate man. So I'll tell you what about this synopsis. They need to get rid of that last sentence.
Yeah, it gives it away.
Right? And just boom, believes in aliens. It'll be tight. It'll be perfect. It fits the show perfectly. But we'll get into that in a bit. So real quick, before we dive in, Billy, before we get, you know, balls deep, as some might say, it's a little lewd, but it's as apropos. We might say. Right? Remind the people of our process.
It starts with a holla, ends with the cream skull, and if there's a little time in between, Thundercats.
Oh!
And by the way, we don't have a Thundercats reference necessarily, but we do have a classic cartoon reference in here late in the show.
Oh, did I miss this one? I wrote down a bunch. I don't remember the cartoon.
Decepticons.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down. Yeah. This is a great episode for obscure references. I think, you know, we've had some episodes in the past where we've been peppered with them, and I feel like the last few episodes a little less. Mm-hmm. But I feel like we're starting to hit the prime Psych zone where we're really going to start seeing more, not even though we don't get in this episode per se, but we're going to start getting more of the Psych gags with the pineapples. We're going to start getting a lot more of the quick, quippy, fast-paced references, obscure references. A
lot of Psych bingos, if you will.
A lot of Psych bingos coming up, and we get a bunch in this episode here. But real quick, some thoughts. I loved, one of the things I loved about this episode was there was great misdirection, right? I think they did a lot throughout the episode to really, like, even though you know it's not aliens, they do enough to make you want to believe and want to, you know, you want to just be there with Gus and Dennis and believe that it's an alien.
Why did I tag in the guy with the custom-made Ewok costume?
So they made it very plausible, and I liked that, you know, we do get a death in this mm-hmm. episode, but it wasn't like what the case was revolved around. This was more revolved around Sean and Gus trying to prove that they aren't idiots. And I loved that.
Yeah, because the cards are stacked against them in this one. The deck is stacked against them in this one. Henry's against them. The whole police station, which is one of my favorite moments, is against them because they're investigating one of their childhood passions. And it really gets them into a bit of trouble because they both want to believe it.
Right. And there's no real crime here to start, right? It's just a guy claiming that, well, I wouldn't say crime, right? But, you know, it's a guy claiming an abduction, right? But he's claiming that it's aliens. And so, like, no one wants to touch this with a 10-foot pole except for Sean and Gus. But that's another thing that I loved about this episode was Sean wanting to be the straight man. Now, we've seen Sean be the straight man a number of times, but in this, he was trying his absolute hardest to be objective and to be the straight man. And I think that's where a lot of the great comedy came from.
Yeah, as we always talk, you know, they it's almost to this point, especially in like the last like probably 7 or 8 episodes, the script has been flipped to the normal dynamic of the show. And it's not even like you're upset about it or you're even noticing it, because they do it a little differently in every way where, you know, Sean's playing from behind. This time he's a straight man. Or Lassie's, you know, one of the more recent ones, Lassie was the goofy guy. So it's or he's out of his comfort zone when they're tapping. It's a brilliant show because it never gets stale. And that, I think that's why, you know, if you get into the show and you develop a love for it, it doesn't ever become, even though it's literally a procedural, it doesn't feel that way.
Right, and because they've created the characters and written the characters and developed the characters all in such a way that they have layers to their personalities. They all at one point can, will, and do play the straight man. They all at one point in time, you know, play the down and out, down on their luck. We need to have a comeback story here. You know, we see Sean, Gus, and Lassie and Woody, you know, play the affable dumbass, yeah. Right? And so, like, we get all these great layers. The only one that's really, like, the most consistent is Jules. But even she has her badass moments. She has her down-and-out moments, right?
So we see Sean play the mandocello. Nobody who else do you know that plays the mandocello?
That's right. And we even do see Jules get a little wacky, right? Yeah. With the roller derby one and all that. So again, that is why you're right. The show never does feel stale, because they can always mix it up and it fits the characters. And nothing ever seems really out of place. And I think, like I said a few moments ago about the comedy with Sean trying to be the straight man, is that, you know, it's right off the bat, he's like, you know, Gus, it's never the crazy suspect. It wasn't a mummy. It wasn't the devil. And it was not even Bigfoot. Or he said, not even Bigfoot. And then Gus says,
What did we think it was Bigfoot? He was moved back 20 feet.
Yeah. So was that a callback to season 1? The Forget Me Not episode when they're in the zoo, like on the field trip?
No. Because I think that's an ostrich when it gets stuck in his...
It is an ostrich, right? But that's the only thing I can think of that would have, at this point, would have involved a school bus.
Yeah. No, I think that was just a reference to something that you had actually never seen.
Right. Gotcha.
There was a great moment in the... one of your favorite, The Devil in the Bedroom Upstairs and Downstairs, where Henry's talking about how his partner thought crimes were being committed by apes.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, why did you go in on it with him for the headlines? Cop stop monkey business. Crime goes bananas.
Yeah. Oh. That's the shit that we love. That's the shit that makes this show so special. And then real quick, one of the things I just wanted to mention was, we've seen this a couple of times, but it was done to perfection here, was Lassie's crap list.
Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah. Sean, Mother, Olympia, freaking Dukakis. And then he crosses Henry's name out. And Henry goes, there is something wrong with you.
You disturb me.
You disturb me. And he puts him back on the list. Like,
you just did the list.
Classic Lassie. Absolutely love that. So those were just some of my quick thoughts, Billy. Did you have any other things you wanted to hit on quickly before we dive in?
No, I think we touched on all of them pretty much. I just have so much fun with this episode, and it is in a stretch that is probably my most often rewatched stretch from like the end of 4 to the middle of 5.
Right. And you'll see later on with the grades, I mean, we both really liked it, but we both had it just a notch. Because I think what this episode does is, like, it does get better on rewatch, but it doesn't have a ton of, like, that big moment that you always think of, you know, that makes you, you know, like, it's like stand out. Like, there's some good visuals here, like when they're wearing the masks, because that's part of the, you know, the montage of the open, you know. And so like, there's a lot of really good comedy in this, and it's really, really funny. But I think what it does lack is like that one or two, like,
signature standout moments.
Scenes. Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't even have to be like a Yang level thing, but when I think about this episode quickly off the top of my head, there's like, what is it? And it's probably like Freddie Prinze,
right?
Like, is like the big callback. There's no like definitive moment.
Like, Feet Don't Fail Me Now. The last episode that we did, him tap dancing.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
That is something that always sticks out in your head. Jewel Spires with the kid going, "Are you Frederick Douglass?" And Gus go, "We need to get out of here," right? Like, some of our favorite episodes, they have those moments, right? And so while this is very funny, it lacks that. So that's why, you know, I took just a tick off. We'll get there. But speaking of Freddie Prinze Jr., we'll get to our special guest star, and then we'll talk about who directed and wrote this episode. So Freddie Prinze Jr., he plays Dennis Gogolak. He is freaking awesome in this
episode. He's the man. WWE writer for a while as well.
Yeah, too. Which is absolutely wild, right? He stands out. Like, he's the biggest, I would say, stand his character, because he pulls it off to perfection. But I wanted to note one other standout guest star here for two reasons.
You wrote the Hubba Hubba for Freddie Prinze, which would also be that works.
He is a dashing fellow, you know. But Becky O'Donoghue as Molly Gogolak, who plays Freddie Prinze Jr.'s wife, and you know, hubba 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 hubba. And what's great about her is that,
nice to meet her.
Yeah, she pulls out the creepiest of Gus's, which is absolutely hysterical. And so when I was looking up her IMDb, she's just been in a bunch of random TV stuff, right? But I thought this was funny. She has multiple credits to her name on at least 3 different shows where she's either the voice of a GPS or the voice of Siri.
Oh, I could totally see that after hearing her voice.
Yeah, she was the voice of Siri on Big Bang Theory. She's the GPS on a show called Mom, and then one other show, which I didn't write down. But
she could be the female Knight Rider.
Yeah, right. So
what is it? Kurt, Kent, Kip?
Kip.
Kip.
Kip. Yeah, Kip. No, Kit. Kip. Kip. Kit. Kit, yeah, Kip is a character on a cartoon, I think. Anyways, not Bluey. Don't. We stand Bluey here. But director writer, the director for this episode was John Badham, who has directed several episodes of Psych. Obviously, this one, Bounty Hunters. There Might Be Blood. The Devil Is in the Details in the Upstairs Bedroom. And the Tao of Gus. And I would say most of those episodes are fine. This one is definitely his best one. The Tao of Gus was pretty good, though.
I do like that one. That's the one where Gus is also being super creepy. So
yep. So he's able to tap into Gus's inner creepiness. And then the writers for this episode were Steve Franks and Bill Callahan. That seems like a pretty
solid duo.
Common duo. Yeah. So with that said, Bill, you want to discuss, let's jump into the cold open a little bit here.
Classic Dennis Gogolak in his his wizard's cloak showing up to the police station with Henry and Gus and Sean all there. And, you know, they're wondering about the UFO that they flagged down last night. And Henry tells them it's a weather balloon. And you can really see the passion of Dennis Gogolak. Do you think this is a joke, sir? Because I assure you it is not.
Yeah.
Maybe they got to him. So it's like a good way to get into the episode. And it paints the picture of Dennis being a total dweeb.
Yeah. And whatever child actor they got to pull this off was classic, because we all knew nerds like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a kid like this in every school in the world.
There's a Simpsons character who is exactly like him. Like he's like the taller, fatter kid with the glasses. He looks exactly like that guy.
Yeah, he's like, was it, what are the nerds' names in The Simpsons? Like Data?
Oh, the older ones, too. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The older ones, and but they're also the younger ones, too.
Meep, meep.
Yeah,
meep.
Right. And there's also the younger nerd, right? So he's like,
yeah.
And he plays it so well, and he's just so, like, the kid was absolute fucking nails during the scene. And even little Gus was friggin' great. And, like, Sean was, like, he was in on it, but, like, not to the level of those guys. So I thought, like, the juxtaposition from young Sean, Gus, and Dennis to adult Sean, Gus, and Dennis was perfect.
Oh,
that's exactly
played,
how they played it, you know, through the episode. And Henry's just like, you gotta be fucking, no, it was a fucking weather balloon, you nimrods. Stop believing in this stuff, you know. And, you know, it was just, I thought it was absolutely great. And it was a perfect lead in to one of the cooler starts of a show that we've gotten.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, you get the actual abduction scene taking place, and you know, it's a very Law and Order thing to see the abduction, as the guy would put it. But you know, you get the guy doing his lawyery notes. You know, he's a lawyer right off the bat. Toby comes in, gives him his pills. Then somebody starts cranking some Yanni. Wind's blowing like crazy. And then you literally see this guy walk off into like a spherical, crazy ass looking helicopter.
Yeah, with something that it resembles an alien, right? You get this big bright light. You get this this thing that looks like an alien. The wind's all this stuff. So this is, it's all like the practical effects they did for this scene, I thought was probably some of the best they've done on the show, because we've seen some effects they've done, like last night, Gus, when they're jumping off the hotel balcony and the fire explodes in the background.
Terrible.
Like, brutal
green
CGI.
Screen. And like, I could do a better blow up effect than that.
I'm doing a better job right now. But like, this was like really good. And so, like, they're really sort of painting the picture that like this is happening. And, you don't want, like, your brain is telling you the show is based in reality. It's not aliens, like I said before. Mm-hmm. But when they put all this stuff together, it's great. And I think what it does too is that the scene is great because it starts to kind of cast a little doubt on the character of Toby, right? Because he's like, he comes in, he seems like he's super helpful, and then he's like acting strange.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good job of sort of planting some seeds, and then, you know, cue to the next morning, we get Lassie and Jules showing up. And I love this scene, because I just love when Lassie taunts Henry. I think it is friggin' hysterical.
He keeps him in the car. It's fucking great. It is such, like, and we've seen this pairing quite a bit now over the course of a few seasons here, especially in the Sean Takes a Shot in the Dark episode.
Yep.
But when they're together, again, like, they've created such deep, rich characters that you know that these two would be at odds in real life with both of their ridiculous personalities.
Yeah, and it just, again, hammers home the point that Sean and Henry are the same fucking person.
Yeah.
Right? And so... Henry's trying to get out of the car because in the backseat of a cop car, you can't get out. So he's like, I could have suffocated in there, which is something Sean would say. And then I love this. And he goes, I'm glad I shot peanut butter your phone last week.
Unbelievable. And then Sean's like, I don't really appreciate you. What is it? Dropping the dime on my peanut butter pranks?
Yeah. Which was, because the look that Sean gives him when Lassie admits, because I know it was you that peanut buttered my phone. Sean was like, Dad. The fuck, you know, it was absolutely perfect. And so, you know, they get there, they start to talk. So Mr. Kessler is the lawyer. He's the one that's claiming that his his junior lawyer, you know, was abducted by an extraterrestrial. They start to roll their eyes, and on cue, here come Sean and Gus, and they jump right in with the alien stuff. And I love this little exchange they had here, where
this is great.
Where Gus goes, was he tall? And or Sean goes, was he tall and scaly, or did he have a lollipop head? And then Gus's reply, without batting an eyelash, goes, probably reptilian.
Yeah, I love when they throw in the jargon, like, you know, probably from the Servitor pod or whatever.
Yeah. They get like, and that's the thing. Like, that's what made, you know, when we get to Dennis when in his debut into the episode, like, he's so like Freddie Prinze Jr. does a great job because he goes all in. We've seen character actors on this show go all in, and sometimes it's wildly over the top, like Lou Diamond Phillips.
Oh my God!
Right, or other times it's over the top but more refined, like what's his name there? He says, "What do you, Binky?" And he's bite down on my big toe.
That was pretty over the top,
right? But it was still like it was more reserved. Wild, yeah. Right? Exactly. And so, like Freddie Prinze Jr., he's just like, boom, he lives that nerd.
I think,
like,
he's perfect. Perfect. Oh,
he was perfect. And so, Sean goes, "We're gonna need a speak and spell in 100 pounds of mashed potatoes, which is clearly a reference to the title of the show. Not even Close Encounters, and Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Which still holds up, by the way. Does it really? Yeah, that's a good. It's one of those Amblin movies, right? So, you know, watch that, you know, in the month of Dorktober and have yourself a time. But what this scene really does is it really sets up that Gus wants to believe. These are some of our favorite Gus episodes when he's all in, and he's more than all in. And Gus is, again, Sean's trying to be the straight man here, and I love the little thing they come up with. Like, if one of them starts to think it's aliens, they have to flick each other in the ear. And that just becomes a great running gag.
You have exactly 3 seconds to beat it. 3, 2, 1.
Like, hey, that's not fair. And then when Gus does it back to him, it was
fucking great.
It was absolutely perfect. So getting into the meat of the show here, like we said earlier, like, we don't really know there's a crime because we see what we think is an alien abduction, but we know because this show is based in reality. That it's not really, but we have no idea, like, what's motive, what, you know, crime other than this quote unquote abduction there is. We don't have a murder. We don't have any. So again, like, it revolves around the premise of Sean and Gus having to prove to everyone that they're not fucking idiots, because they go to Kessler at one point in the episode and say, yeah, I think it was an alien abduction, but you got to keep your mouth shut. And then what does the dumbass do? He goes straight to the press. And, you know, that really, really, you know, makes
Sean Gus look stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. So what I loved what they did here, too, was that, you know, they're starting to interrogate Roy, and Sean's, you know, doing his clue face, and he sees the beer bottle. He sees the pills. And so he starts to, you know, imply, hey, Roy, you sure you kind of saw what you think I saw? And I love this where he goes, you think I beer goggled an alien abduction? And then Sean goes, Gus did last Christmas.
I hit the whites in hard.
It was perfect.
I've said that before, too, when somebody says something about, like, me drinking. I was like, I hit the whites in hard. And, like, the looks you get, they're fucking hysterical. But my favorite part of this whole scene, and one of my favorite, like, gags that they've ever done, is when Sean finds the recorder and he plays the song. And he's like, did it sound like this? Song, bong, bong, bong. And he's like... Then he plays it and he goes, you weren't even close. Why would you say that? You know, I struggle with tone deafness. And then the scene that leads us into Dennis's Google, I don't know if you could tell, I was looking away for a second. I forgot to cut this, so I tried to cut it during the show. They use Sean's song, Sean.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
Into like the scene, and I have it here. So that's Sean. Oh, and then here.
Oh, really? I'm sorry. I was.
Like, that is fucking unbelievable. That,
yeah.
Because, like, that makes me question, is it the movie... I gotta stop. I forgot the repeats. We don't have an audio board that you just plug it into StreamYard. Yeah. But it makes me question. You remember in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, like, his job is to score TV shows?
Oh, yep.
Like, I wonder if they do that for this level of show, because I always figured they just like got like two or three, you know, interstitial. No, they probably had it made for the show because they have very like specific stuff. But I'm wondering if like they did take it into like an orchestra room and people were really designing the music. That's something I'd like to know if they did that for the show, because this was one that really stuck out. I thought it was a perfect like audio gag, and you don't get many of those.
Yeah, it's an audio gag, but it's also a perfect transition. Yep. And they also made it sound in a way that that sounds like their normal sort of.
Yeah, you wouldn't even have noticed.
Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So it was perfect. I picked up on that too. And I love it. And I love the fact that like Sean wasn't even close, and I struggled with tone deafness. It was just like a great, like, you know, Sean, you know, retort. But again, they do a great job of like, because what we get in this episode a lot is Gus or Dennis rattling off, you know, all these like
spinning nonsense.
You know, spinning nonsense. With conviction, of like, oh, these are all signs of an alien abduction, and they'll rattle them off like you just read it on some like, you know, wingnut conspiracy page. And then, you know, you got Sean then doing his clue face and actually seeing those exact clues, right? And so it's like, shit, this is plausible. Like they're stitching it together perfectly. And I mean, we don't even find out who the bad guy. Usually it's like, what, the 25 minute mark, right? I think we've gone as far as the 30 minute mark. Like, who the bad guy in this episode? It might be like the 40 minute mark who we finally find out who
it's
the bad
final
guy is.
Real scene of the show. Yeah. Like, there's a couple of like wrap up scenes, but you don't meet him until literally not even like the last act, the last scene.
Yeah, and they did a good job at planting the seeds for him early on, right? But he doesn't have a face or a name. It's just the name of a corporation that is sort of an offhand comment, you know, at one point where Henry is trying to debunk Roy Kessler's wild claims. But we get that transition from Roy, you know, really sort of investigating Roy's house to then, you know, Sean and Gus, they need to go, you know, meet the aforementioned expert in UFOs. So they go to Dennis's house. And I love that, you know, they pretty much did the who's the fat kid from fucking Stand By Me? Jerry O'Connell. They gave him the Jerry O'Connell treatment, right? Where they presented you a fat nerdy kid in the cold open. And then when they get to his house, it's this handsome devil, you know, Freddie Prinze Jr. And they're like, holy smokes, right?
Well,
and then
he's used to going from zero to hero, geek to chic, because he was in the movie She's All That with Abigail Lightheart.
That's oh yeah, that's right.
A little
that's
psych right. connection here too.
Yep. 9 degrees of Abigail Lightheart. and so they're talking to Dennis and they're like wicked excited, and he's starting to get into it, and then all of a sudden the camera just sort of zooms to the staircase and you get this this dashing young lady walking down
swimsuit
the stairs
model.
In a golden bikini. And which, now that I think about it, her coming down in a golden bikini is very like, that's like I feel like a subtle nod to the Golden Bikini Princess Leia war. So like that should have maybe been a sign. You know what I mean? Like that was a well-placed, I think it had purposely done. And then we get creepy ass Gus.
Nice and, to meet you. Very nice.
That was the creepiest very I've ever heard.
My favorite thing is when he watches her walk away and his head just kind of like stays in place, but his eyes and neck kind of like move like with her.
Yeah.
I got to make that a GIF.
Yeah, that's tremendous. And so we find out that Dennis is fucking stupid rich.
Yep.
Stupid rich. We also find out that Dennis be fronting
Denny.
Because he is currently, while he is a gigantic nerd, to his wife, he is a jock. And she doesn't know about his nerdy side, which I thought was also some great, you know, played into the comedy of this episode a bit. But while she goes off with her friends, Dennis whisks them away into his secret hidden nerd room. And this whole scene, yeah, this is one of my favorite scenes of the episode, because they're admiring all his geek stuff, and he's like, yeah, I've got to pretend to be a jock, you know, bros with, you know, saying, you know,
beer me.
And I'd hit that. What am I hitting? Probably an attractive lady.
That's true.
It was just like so perfect. But what we really get in this scene is we see Dennis has not given up his nerdom, and Sean gives him some information to see if there really was an alien at Kessler's house.
Yeah, 25 Buckskin Drive. First, the swing and a miss because he's hacked into the Weather Service satellite, but then he goes back about like right before because he saw the clock, like 10:44 or whatever. Yeah. So they actually see what appears to be some alien activity, and now it seems like they have a legitimate, at least something out there that could have taken Toby Shore away from Roy Kessler's house. So I love when they go outside and like, are you gonna tell, what is it? I forgot the kid's name. Ah, I just had it on the tip of my tongue. Which kid? Jeff Garrett's, so I can rub it in Jeff Garrett's face.
Oh yeah. So, you know, I absolutely, again, this scene was great because we have so many little sight gags. You know, I like when they walk in and
oh, yeah. Oh,
you've got replicas of the Battlestar Galactica helmet and
LeVar Burton's glasses from Star Trek.
Because those aren't replicas, fellas. Those cost me $15,000 a pop.
At auction.
Yeah. At auction. I know it happens later on. It was in this scene where Gus pulls out like a robe or something. And
excellent stitch work, my liege.
Yeah. And then Dennis just gives him a nod, like, and thanks, then Gus man. With the nunchucks, right, which we see later, you know, is absolutely great. So they've got this bit of information, you know, of this unidentified object flying over Kessler's house at the time.
Real quick, I didn't even realize that was a Chekhov's gun moment right there, too, with the nunchucks introducing a weapon that gets played off later.
Yeah. Look at that. That's why we give you on the program, Billy. And so they take this information to Kessler, as I mentioned earlier, right? And they say, all right, this is what we found. Keep it on the down low, bro.
QT.
On the QT. And he does it. He blabs it on the fucking news. And then he says, no. The guys at Psych, you know, and the photo they put up of Sean and Gus on the news, like the stock image they use, is fucking great. And Sean's just like, I look like Katie Lang. And then instead of saying Burton Guster, says Gurton Buster.
Fucking, that killed me. That's probably one of his best names.
Yeah, Gurton, but it was absolutely fantastic. And they referenced this joke a ton too, because what is
he's like, you know, it looks like I just finished a set at Lilith Fair, and then it was what was
the
like,
Constant Cravings one?
Does this photo make me look like I should be seeing Constant Cravings? Yeah. Quick Katie Lang side story. I used to frequent a pool hall like 5 days a week in high school, and they had a jukebox, and there was a guy there that hated, like, you know, poppy-ish music. And one day Miss Chatelang came on by Katie Lang, which if you haven't heard it, it's not a good song. But it's become one of my all-time favorite songs because every time it would come on like randomly on the jukebox, the guy would literally come and unplug the jukebox. So every time that we went, we would play it. It was fucking great.
This has to be your walk-up song to bocce.
Oh, you know, Miss Chatelang?
When you step up to the court to roll that ball.
After this, go listen to Miss Chatelang. Pause the podcast if you're listening.
Yeah.
Go on to Spotify, type in Katie Lang, Miss Chatelang. It's worth a listen.
It's what we're going to do. We're going to give it the Edwin Diaz treatment, right? We're going to, you know, get the trumpet to Miss Chatelang and have you coming out.
Trumpets.
Right, to roll your bocce ball. So now we're at the station. Henry is pissed. And we get a lot of information. And this is sort of where, this is the moment where we actually, we get information that seems useless at the time, but ends up being like the whole, you know, motive and why, you know, the who, the how, the what, and the, you know, the what of the episode. But so, you know, Henry's sitting there telling me, you know, this is Kessler guy. He's a bit of a nut job. He's got a history of wild claims and accusations. For example, he's getting ready to sue this textile company that's dumping chemicals, you know, into the land, you know, a la Aaron Brockovich, right? We get a couple of Aaron Brockovich.
Well, no, he goes, you know who was up to it? Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah, right. Right? You know, he believes he saw a panda in the office's kitchen.
It's my and favorite line maybe in the episode. That's yeah. that's not unheard of. Pandas are big eaters.
Yeah. Fucking killed me. Absolutely love it. And then he goes, you know, he's on anxiety medicine. If he misses his dose, he's prone to psychotic episodes. And then he also claimed to have saw a UFO.
Saw sphere.
about a decade ago. Was it two half bowls put together? Or And so, like, they're really doing a good job at both, like, getting you to believe that it's aliens, but also that this guy might be an actual nut job. And so now, while we're at the station, we see Toby. Toby is, and I spelled Toby probably like 10 different ways in the document. Yeah. But we see Toby, you know, he's the junior lawyer that Kessler reported, you know, to be abducted. He's like, yeah, I showed up, gave him his medicine. My car wouldn't start, so I took a cab home and I stopped at my mother's and I had my phone off, right? So he gives a very plausible explanation, but is counter to what we actually saw with our own eyes. And so, like we talked about in the beginning, we got that feeling that Toby's a little shady. Now he's telling a completely different story of what actually happened. And so it's like, so what's going on with this guy?
Yeah, because it's not even dramatic irony where, you know, we know what happened and the characters don't. The characters know something came on that radar that moved too fast to be anything else but a flying object. So Sean and Gus know something happened there that night. And, you know, my other favorite thing is like, who's going to be taking his cases? And he goes, we'll volunteer. Have you ever heard of my cousin's new legal firm? It's called Accidentes. And the other guy, and as soon as he goes, no, Sean, my very parts goes, you will.
And I love it when he does that little bit of Spanish, Accidentes. And so what we also get here too is we get Sean sees some weird marking on Toby's forearm. And then I can't remember exactly what the line of dialogue that prompted it, but Sean goes, well, what about that birthmark on it? Or what about that mark on his arm? And he goes, oh, yeah, I saw it. Something to the effect of, I saw that too, and I didn't have to do this.
Yeah.
And he made the clue face there. So I just love the constant mock
clues this whole time.
Yeah, I love that line. That was one of my favorite lines because Gus keeps saying all these things. He's like, what the shit? So, you know, we learn that Kessler's now been suspended, and then we find out just, you know, not too long from now that Toby has been assigned all his cases. So now we've got enough evidence as a viewer to suspect Toby. But why would he stage this? We still don't know. Like, was it solely just to get the cases? That doesn't seem like a very psych episode, but it does at least give us our first, you know, glimpse of a motive.
Yeah, so they quite haven't tied in the fact of the oil spill or the chemical spill being linked to this just yet, but that was a little nugget that was dropped. And then you get Toby coming over the top with some suspicious activity, especially since the fact that, like, you know, he was looking around for the cases. So they go back to Dennis's house and learn that he's taking over all of the cases and, you know, that he set him up on purpose. So then they're going to go and spy on Toby to see if they can glean anything from his activity.
Yeah, because you start in order. Okay, did Toby, you know, fuck with Roy's pills? Did he swap them out? Like, so I love that they go on the stakeout, and I love that they need to be in disguise, and I love the disguises.
Tell me what you need.
Yeah, tell me. So Sean's got the Battlestar Galactica helmet on, And Gus has, you know, the visor from Geordi LaForge from Star Trek: The Next Generation. And what I love about this too is that we're walking about, people keep going up to Gus asking for his autograph.
Oh my god!
Because he does kind of look like LeVar Burton. Like, he looks like the character, and Sean just looks like a friggin' lunatic. And so they're kind of staking him out, and then Toby comes out to rip a dart, and then he sees these two weirdos looking at him, and so he starts to take off. He starts to run, and as they're running, it was a great little chase scene. Sean breaks the helmet, which we know costs, you know, 15 grand, and they finally get a phone call, and it's Toby's like, hey, guys, I need you to you know, meet me at such and such a place. I think I'm being followed by two weirdos in helmets. And Sean goes, well, that's just your opinion or whatever he says. He goes, I'm being followed by the guy from Star Trek and some weird white guy in a helmet.
Which is your opinion.
Right. And he goes, Kessler was right. I need you to meet me at this place, at this hotel. It's not safe here. So now we've just been injected with a massive amount of intrigue. Mm-hmm. And you're still going, what the hell is going on here? Because Toby sounds very, very scared. And so when they go to the hotel later, you know, they're there, they're talking, right? Gus is trying to convince Sean. Sean's gone back to being the straight man. Like, he went from not believing to believing and then not believing again. And then again, we get another instance where Gus goes, but he's exhibiting all the signs of abduction, nervousness, paranoia,
traveling to unknown places.
Right. And then suicidal tendencies. Check.
Yep.
Because you see a body drop right at their feet. Boom. Splat. So now we have another layer to all of this. The intrigue level, you know, is through the roof. And we get back to the station. And we get a bit of information here that's quite interesting. We find out that Toby, right before he jumped, had wired 500 G's to his favorite charity. And John's like, how the fuck does a junior lawyer get 500 G's in his bank account? He's not convinced. And so everyone thinks they're fucking nuts. And this is the brilliance of Sean's stupidity, right? He pulls a little distraction technique. He turns the fan on, blows all the papers on Jules' desk away so he can grab a couple of things. And I love this little bit here because he's going through
another list
of the stuff he grabbed. And he goes, the recipe for Jules' weird cleanse, which I love that line. It's always stuck out with me. And he's like, nada. And then he goes, ooh, preliminary coroner's report. Strange object in Toby's stomach. Cowbird, baby. And
embryo.
And this is where we get. Now, if you were to ask me what is the iconic moment of this episode, we're at it here right now, actually. It is with one Woodrow Strode.
Yeah, it's probably like the parting words between the two of them. But yeah, he's eating food over the corpse, which is always a fucking hilarious bit to me because he doesn't care. Like when he's eating the cream fraiche in the Whip Chatterley episode. Yeah. But he's eating some French fries.
Fried clams.
Yeah. Oh, is it fried clams?
Fried clams and French fries.
Yeah. So classic beach food, eating it over the fucking corpse. And then they come down, they kind of press him for some stuff. And he's like, I cannot tell you, I will get in trouble. And he'd already told them that he stole the corpse's watch.
Right. He's like, would you that or would you get in more trouble for looting corpses? Yeah. And he goes, fine. It was a flash drive. And then I love Gus's response here. He goes, well, now when you say flash drive, is that coroner code for alien embryo hatching in someone's ear? And without a beat, Woody just goes, no, that's starfish.
By the way, did you know, because I didn't, and I'll have to rewatch it because I probably haven't seen it since I was like 7, but that he is a no holds barred as the Vince McMahon character, like the owner of a network, and he plays like the most over the top person in the history of film.
Woody?
Kurt Fuller. Yeah.
We're going to have to watch that. Going to have to watch that. Holy smokes. Yeah, he's absolutely amazing in this. And this I think this is the point where we start to get Woody unleashed.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the Woody
character. Cuz it's only been in like 5 episodes so far.
Yeah, and he's been I wouldn't say serious, but he hasn't been like eating food and admitting that he's, you know, stealing watches off corpses. But I love the way he delivers the line, I can't tell you, I will get in trouble. More trouble than looting corpses. It's fine. We find a flash drive. It was just a great little scene. Like whenever he's in it,
he's amazing.
So they go back to Dennis's house. They need to find out what's on the flash drive. They use Dennis's hacking skills to hack into Lassie's personal computer. And again, this was great. Like there was
another good list
and little things in this that just like it's just perfect. So he's like, quick, check out Lassie's search history. And he goes, okay. Grenadefancy.com, squirrelassassins.com, which gets a chuckle from Sean. And then you just see
that man needs Jesus.
That's gross. That man needs Jesus. It was like, it was perfect. It's like just little things. It's like when the Simpsons were in their prime and they were doing the sight gags.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was just perfect. And so it's these little things, these little touches that just make Psych just a great show, you know, to watch. And so they're going through the flash, they get into the flash drive, and it's a bunch of legal docs on dun 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 budding textiles. So we're bringing that little throwaway line from earlier in the episode back into play here. And that was the case that Kessler was working on, you know, about the dumping of the chemicals and getting people sick. So the guys do some sleuthing. They head out to this little town where, you know, Kessler was sort of investigating and gathering information. And they find the Decepticon that, you know, replicates, I should say. I can't fucking talk tonight, Billy, and I haven't even been drinking. That replicates a lot of the UFO signs that, you know, were talked about earlier in the episode. And that thing was badass looking.
Mm-hmm.
A great little thing afterwards, because Gus like, don't turn it on. And of course, Sean hits the button. But then they get out, because this thing was like bumping and thumping, you know, and shaking the ground and making a ton of noise. So Sean comes out and he starts walking all funny and he's bobbling his head. And he goes, I feel like a bobblehead. Gus, you do it. He goes, no. He goes, come on, get in on the bit. And I always love when Sean references doing a bit, because it's a way of sort of breaking the fourth wall without breaking the fourth mm-hmm. wall. And I always love that. And then what do we get here?
No, we get another place.
Well, we get another abduction.
Yes, right? We do.
Right. That's so now, them. Right. So, I mean, this is the point in the episode now where we're at the end. I mean, we're at the 35, 38 yeah, minute late. Mark here. Like, this is like the last scene, you know, of, you know, the episode. And we get, you know, a reveal.
He pulls the here. Gun at 34 minutes.
Yeah. So we get the reveal here, really, you know, right as we're just finding everything out. Like, usually mm-hmm. by the time we get the reveal, we've already kind of pulled the mask off the bad guy, a la Scooby-Doo. There's a couple of great things here. So I'm going to do the reveal first and then talk about Dennis coming in to sort of save the day, because it is such another great scene by Dennis. So as they're being tied up, there's this guy with a terrible fucking toupee, and, you know, two enforcers holding them at gunpoint. Sean and Gus are tied up and they're doing, you know, what they classically, they're trying to stall, right? Right, in hopes that Jules and Lassie will show up in time. And so Sean and Gus, there was a brilliance in this reveal where Sean tells this dude everything. He's like, we know you purposely poisoned the land to get mm-hmm. people to move out and leave so that you could get access to all that. Cause I believe it's what, oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Underneath there. And so, you know, this dude had paid Toby 500 G's to help, you know, make it happen, to help make Kessler look like a non-credible witness, lawyer. To make him look like a Looney Tune, right? So that they can, you know, get the oil, make a profit, and not have to pay, you know, pay people off and do all this stuff. So Sean's, you know, admitting this, and the guy was like, and here I am, I just picked you guys up for trespassing, right? Mm-hmm. So it was a classic, like, foot in the mouth, but aha, gotcha moment.
And they swore they would never tell anybody.
Right. And so just as, you know, as we get in the show, because you're not going to kill Sean and Gus, right before the goons are about to, you know, make the hit, there's a knock. There's Dennis. He's delivering a package. And then he busts out the nunchucks to save the day, and he whacks himself in the fucking face.
He's doing great before that, though.
What?
He's doing great before that.
And he's like, I think I did some real damage
to my premolars.
The way he delivers that line,
it's fucking great. It kills. That's probably my favorite line.
I think I did some real damage to my premolars,
guys.
It's okay. You look real badass until you clocked yourself in the face. And then maybe even better than this
is pretty good too.
Is that Lassie and Jules finally show up?
Drop it.
And Lassie just sees, you know, Dennis holding the nunchucks and he can't talk because he cracked his premolars. And then he fucking tases the dude. and it is fucking hilarious because he pisses himself at the same time. It was such a good scene. And so basically, boom, that's the episode. And then we get like the last scene there. Well, we get a couple of little things here where earlier in the episode, like Lassie was fucking dancing on the guys because they looked really friggin' stupid. Mm-hmm. And now they're back at the station and they solve the case and they start dancing on Lassie, which was absolutely fantastic. That's another one of those things they always use in their cold open video or the montage, you know, to start the show. And then we get back to Dennis's house and you've got Kessler, Sean, Gus, and Dennis just all nerding out in Dennis's room. And then his hot ass wife walks in, catches them. And, you know, he finally comes clean. And then she admits that she's a giant nerd too. That was the one other little nitpick I had. Yeah. Like her acting there was just kind of terrible. But
no,
she's
Lindsay
so
Lohan,
fucking,
but
yeah. No, but she's wildly hotter than Lindsay Lohan. So
I'll take Lindsay Lohan 10 out of 10.
You'll take her over
100%.
No, I'm taking this broad.
No,
dumper for close. Days. No. Dumper for days.
Jesus Christ, Joe.
Hey, we got creepy Gus. We're going to get creepy Doc. I did that for Bert, by the way. I just thought this was a very fun episode. Yeah, you are, Bray. And so I had a lot of fun with it, Billy. Seems like you had a lot of fun with
it. Oh, absolutely. It was great.
We can jump into the Thundercats. So this might be the latest. Oh, that we've gone, right?
Clocking in late here.
That's how much we love this episode here.
I mean, we covered much most of it. You know, anytime they're at Dennis's house. Is there anything we missed from that?
No, I mean, like if we're gonna talk about most memorable moments, I mean, we've hit on them already, right? Anything at Dennis's house, you know, when the guys went incognito, Sean and Gus dancing on Lassie, creepy Gus, right? Like it was so fun. And like I said, like the moments like themselves weren't like iconic, but they were really, really good. And the only thing I really didn't like was the fucking CEO. That toupee he had was terrible.
Bad, really bad rug.
I mean, that was worse than any of the fucking bad Henry hair that we got. Yeah, I mean, that was
actually
egregious.
Was this? I gotta go back and look at Henry's hair. I don't think his was that bad.
No, he was regular Henry, which was odd. He was bald Henry.
No, he had it slicked back. I mean, he had the like the tiny little pompadour in the middle of his head, but he wasn't trying to do the swoopy comb over, which is
at first glance, it almost kind of seemed like
it's close. It's very close.
But so that was the thing I didn't like. We finally reversed for favorite characters. Usually it's the other way around.
Ooh,
right. But right. I went Gus. This was a tremendous, great, tremendous Gus episode because he was all in the way he played, you know, well with Dennis, how he was just, you know, the little jabs.
Doing nonsense with authority.
That's right. The little jabs he would take at Sean from time to time, just his full geekdom. I loved Gus this episode.
He was very, very good. I could have easily gave it to him too, but I went Sean because Sean was absolutely just in his wheelhouse delivering the lines. And again, it's always fun when you see him not in his normal, you know, kind of what Gus would be doing.
Right. So those guys absolutely nailed it. I mean, honorable mention, it's got to be Dennis. I mean, he killed it.
He really did.
He was awesome. And even the brief moment that Woody was in there, absolutely killed it. A bunch of great little one-liners too that we didn't hit on yet. When Kessler says, "What are you guys, UFO chasers?" And Sean goes, "Nothing ridiculous like that. We're psychic detectives."
They pull that out again for Declan Rand.
That's right.
And then they have, this is one of my favorites, and I always try to pull this with like new people at my work when we get like a new kid. Boy, may I call you Phil? Prefer if you didn't. It's funny because like it depends on how young the kid is. If I go like, you know, Howie, can I call you Phil? Okay.
Oh, and then Gus, yeah, when Dennis had mentioned that those replicas were not replicas and they cost $15,000 a pop, and Gus goes, "I've never been so motivated to make money in my life." It was just like, it was just a perfect Gus line. And I love
if
this.
If you like that, you should see where the magic happens. And yeah. I mean that literally. I have an entire room downstairs where I practice my magic.
Yeah. Which is just perfect because, again, like Freddie Prinze delivers his lines perfectly, yeah, right? Like he is right up there. He's not in the Mount Rushmore, but he is up there in terms of guest stars on this show because he fit in. He worked well. The chemistry was perfect. He played it. It was fantastic. And then, you know,
like you said, he wasn't gigantic. He was good.
Yeah. We mentioned the Katie Lang stuff I love. And the only thing we get blinded by is science.
And the way he, like, Sean sets him up for it and Gus just fucking screams it. It's fucking tremendous.
Let's see. Gus and I may be a lot of things. Handsome, chiseled, witty, urbane.
Whatever that means.
Perfect.
Which is what urbane means is all those other things.
And then let's see. Oh, that's not shocking. Pandas are big. Yeah. So great stuff there. Pretty quick creamsicle. If we want to jump into that real quick, Billy.
Yeah. Pineapple, air freshener in Dennis's nerd room. No descriptioners of Lassie. No Gus Don't Be-as. We had a Gurton Buster. No, I've heard it both ways. No, I'd rather. Wordplay, I think you can kind of count the handsome, witty, chiseled urbane because, like, to know what urbane means, like, it's like you'd be smart, you'd be witty. So, like, it's just a perfect, like, little play there. And I'm going to add this one. I think we might have had some other ones before, but I know we get, like, Lock, Stock, and Two Toasted Bagels. Like, we get a lot, we get some fake businesses that I think are actually pretty funny in this episode. Yeah. In this, like, show.
Accidentes. Was perfect. Henry father/dick of the year moment. He wasn't really a dick. He was trying to be protective of the guys. Like he didn't want them to look stupid because he knew like the rest of us, this wasn't a fucking alien abduction. But they went ahead and did anyway. So he tried to, so I thought, you know, okay, that was not an instance of Henry just sort of like, trying to be overprotective and be and
did drop the dick drop about the it. Dime on his peanut butter prank though.
Yeah, but I get that in the moment he was pissed at Lassie. Mm-hmm. You know, I would
that would be it. Something you would do and then you'd regret it later.
Yeah, 100%.
I didn't mean to tell him, Billy, but he's pissing me off.
And then we get a ton of obscure references. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, Close Encounters of the Third Kind is what the show is sort of a spoof of. We get a Joe Piscopo.
And that will continue reference. To be my thoughts until somebody proves the man's whereabouts.
Battlestar Galactica, Star Trek The Next Generation, Aaron Brockovich. We get a Yanni reference. Mm-hmm. We get a great Charlton Heston Soylent Green reference. An even better Rebecca Lobo.
Like a Rebecca Lobo set shot. Class! I forgot that was in this episode. That, to me, is like the thing that stands out the most, is the Rebecca Lobo. Glass.
We get a Decepticons Transformers reference, and then, you know, so that picture of
Sean
of Sean looking like Katie Lang. They also make a Billie Jean King reference.
Oh my god, Sean, you look like Billie Jean King,
which was absolutely great. So those were a bunch of great references and perfectly used. Mm-hmm. Pineapples, William.
How many 7. Pineapples? 7.7.
Yeah. I had this 7. So what I did was I kept the rating I had from last week. And then I was like, okay, how does this episode compare to that one? And so I saw you put 7.7. I go, that's about right. It's just a tick below Feet Don't Fail Me Now. Mm-hmm. Because this is an episode that I love. I rewatch a ton. But Feet Don't Fail Me Now has a couple of those real iconic things. Like, You name that episode and boom, I can rattle off a ton of stuff from it. So pretty even there. Just like I'm going to tell these fools in the chat, come on, son.
Come on, son. Come on. Get that out of here with that bull. Next week, season 5, episode 4, Chivalry Is Not Dead, But Someone Is. And this, to me, might get an 8. This is one of my all-time favorite episodes. And I think that's why I kind of put my ratings in towards the end. Now, I'll do it a little bit early, but I like to keep it to the end because they're all, like, a lot of these are so close. We kind of have to talk through it and see what separates it from the other thing to give it a fair ranking.
Right, right. You know, so it's what I'm going to do is I'm going to start carrying over my ranking from the episode before. And then, yeah, it's going to go up or down. From this point now, it's like when you're tipping at a restaurant. You start at 20% and you go up or down depending on the service that night. Generally goes up. Very rarely does it go down. And that's sort of where, you know, Psych is at this point. Unless you're Rossi.
Yeah. Because I know my mom sometimes. Yeah. What did he do? He brought us our food. Well, no, he didn't. Well, yeah. That's how restaurants work. He did everything else. Yeah. But just quickly, like, Chivalry is not dead, but someone is. Then Sean and Gus and Drag, Viagra Falls, Fairy Tales, Sean 2.0. Like, that's just the next few.
Viagra Falls, I think, is a Mount Rushmore episode for me. I fucking love that episode.
It's up there for me, too. It's a fucking amazing episode.
And we have a run now of guest stars, right? We've mm-hmm. gotten Freddie Prinze Jr. I forget the actor's name. It's Kurt something. Mm-hmm. That's in the next episode. You get William Devane and
you get the girl from Sex and the City in the next one too.
No, that's not her. That's
yeah, it is.
No, it's Jean Smart that we get. It's not Kim Cattrall. Jean Smart, who's excellent in that episode.
You're 100% right. But you know who Kim Cattrall looks like at this age? Gene Smart.
Yes, yeah, facts.
Wow, William that DeVay fucked me up right there for a
and,
second.
And Apollo Creed, what's his name there?
Carl Weathers.
Got
yourself a right. stew going, baby.
So, and then we get Declan Rand, Nestor Carbone with the dark,
the most dark possibly dark eyelashes on any man ever.
So we're going to be a string of episodes here that are all fucking bangers, and I can't wait to talk about them. So, Billy. Where can the people find us?
They can find us everywhere on most platforms, all of the audio ones as well. But go on to Twitter and go give Joe's other co-host a follow real quick and see what he wore today to work.
It's Han Solo season, flannel and boots. God,
unbelievable. But you can find us, all of us, including Nick Fryer and the TLDR podcast on Facebook, the Dork Shared Gooniverse page. That is his other podcast. Mine is PCP. And then we have Change My Mind, Dork, and Mac and Goo, who had their office trivia last night. And that's about it. We have our streamers, you, Backcracker, Shime Time, and the Dork Boys sometimes on YouTube.
You know what you got to do? You got to get a bunch of pictures of Fryer in the flannel and cut it to fucking apple bottom jeans.
Oh, boots with the fur.
we need a Billy supercut here with flannel with flannel Fryer. So until next week, folks. Wait for it.
Frank says hi.
Click.